Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
Coming up on NBA Today, we have the very latest on Joel Embiid's return. What does that mean for the rest of the Eastern Conference? That answer coming up shortly. And, oops, book, he did it again. We're going to tell you what record he broke in another 50-point barrage. Is he the key for the Suns to make a championship push? Also, speaking of Buck, it's how Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Bueckers, Juju Watkins gave us a night to remember. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome into NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. I'm Malika Andrews, and that, you know her, she needs no introduction, is Caitlin Clark, arguably the biggest basketball star on the planet right now, celebrating after posting 41 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds to help Iowa knock off the defending champion LSU Tigers to get back into the women's Final Four. So after last night's blockbuster doubleheader, the rest of the Final Four, you can see here, it is all set. Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes take on Paige Bueckers and the UConn Huskies. Cannot wait for that one. And then on the other side of the bracket, that features the number one overall seeded South Carolina Gamecocks. They are trying to keep their perfect season alive against NC State. If anyone can do it, Dawn can. And while we have the answer for now, at least, what that bracket looks like, right? There are still plenty of questions of how the play-in bracket in the West is going to shake out. And, I mean, it was a different chapter, but my goodness, it was the same book last night for Phoenix. He dropped another 50-piece on the New Orleans Pelicans. So let's show you exactly how this one went down with Danny Green and Zach Lowe here to help me out. Zach, he picked it up in the first quarter and really never looked back.
Yeah, when they have two bodies screen for him like that, it's very hard to deal with. He can shoot threes. He can get in the mid-range. He can get to the rim. He's kind of a bully sometimes. He was on it last night. This dude loves New Orleans. I don't know. Just pulling up in people's faces. Doesn't even matter who's guarding him.
A bully in the best way possible. Here again, Devin Booker going to work.
Just zooms right by Zion. Same play again. That stacked pick and roll is very hard to guard.
He has the full package here, Danny. As we go ahead to the second quarter, would Devin Booker slow down? The answer to that would be no.
Yeah, this is his sweet spot. I mean, he got hot from three, but this is where he's a master a class at in the mid-range area. So he gets to his pull-up there, half fake spin, gets to this elbow action. One dribble pull up. When he's hot, there is no stopping him.
They build a 20-plus point lead here in the second quarter and are able to maintain that leading into the third in large part thanks to Devin Booker continuing to dominate.
Yep, career high in points per pick and roll possession. Mm. And yeah, as you're seeing, Nurkic so key to them, getting him open, getting an open three.
But the fourth quarter, this is where the Phoenix Suns have struggled, Zach. And so all of a sudden, the Pelicans are within range once again.
And they went small, Zion at center. But that was Dyson Daniels. That's a good defensive player. It's Dyson Daniels again here, I think, and he's just left. That's what I mean by bully. That's a bully move right there.
Well,
against a good defender.
Kevin Durant, he didn't think Devin Booker was a bully. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it was like deja vu. As it was happening, I couldn't believe he was doing it again. You know, you look up, you got 20 points in the first quarter. And what I loved about it, it was in the flow of the game to start. Pin downs, catching shoots, cuts to the rim, layups, one do pull-ups, you know. And that's the sign of a otherworldly score when you can do it in a Florida offense like that.
Well, otherworldly, this is what we mean by that. Devin Booker's 162 points. It's the most in a three-game span versus any opponent in the last 50 seasons. It ranks above the likes of James Harden, Giannis, Bernard King, and a guy, I don't know, maybe you heard of him, Michael Jordan, above all of that. So, Danny Green, you know better than anyone that's sitting here that sometimes for a shooter, the basket can just start to look bigger and bigger and bigger, knocking down shot after shot after shot. I think that we've seen so many 50-point performances, 70-point performances this season. Sometimes that gets diluted. It's hard to feel special. No, this is just how special was it? How did he get this?
For sure. And he's a guy that scored 70 before because he's done it so many times. People think it's a regular day at the office. But we'll check out a couple players of how he got open. You know, the pick and roll game for him this year has been great. He's in career high points per possession in pick and roll. Nurkic, Key, this is a stack action. And because Grayson Allen is such a great shooter, they have to stay close to his body. He slips out. He's able to get a disadvantage with a switch. Nurkic setting that screen, a legal screen. I'll just say he sealed this man for, you know, Book to get an easy two-point conversion at the rim, get him in rhythm. And right here, pick and roll once again. He's hitting on the ball a lot more. Bradley Beal's been out. No point guard coming off pick and roll. He's hot from three. And once he's hot, it doesn't matter who's how good a defender is, he's going to knock down those shots.
I mean, you said it right there, no point guard, right? This is what we've said about the Suns all year long. And I think that when you have Devin Booker able to have games like this, when you have he can make up for the fact that they don't have that traditional point guard, that sometimes Bradley Beal has the ball in his hands, sometimes Devin Booker does. They put the ball back in Book's hands. He has a game like that. He also had 9 assists, by the way. So he can do it all, but he shouldn't do it all.
Right?
Like, that's the – can he do it all? Yes. Should he? Probably not. And I think that's been a gaping hole for this team all year, is not having that traditional point guard. They had one of those. His name was Chris Paul.
Right. The point guard.
He's not just now the point guard. Golden State.
Right. So there's a couple of things that when we talk about the Phoenix Suns, especially at this time of year, that continuously come up. One, how they've handled the fourth quarter. They've been near the bottom of the league for the majority of the season in several categories in the fourth quarter. That's not what you want to see, particularly offensively. The other thing we look at is their strength of schedule at this time of year, because if you take a look at the Western Conference standings currently, everything is mumbled and jumbled right now because the Clippers, the Mavs, they're in the 4 and 5 spots. If we can pull that up, please, Director Kathy. There it is. The Pelicans, they are clinging to 6. The Suns, they have the tiebreaker over New Orleans. 1 game against the Pelicans remaining on their schedule. So Phoenix controls their own destiny for 6. Although, who's that? Oh, yeah, that's the Lakers. That's the Kings coming in hot, Zach. So which team do you think is going to shoot that shot and will have 6 when it's all said and done?
First of all, that music is reserved for the Miami Heat.
Okay,
so that, they get the job. They get
all right,
the job.
Coming in hot. Shoot the shot.
I'm sticking with New Orleans just because Phoenix's schedule down the stretch is like a cruel joke. I don't know what they did to anger the schedule makers. It's like unbelievable how hard their schedule is. And yeah, they're only 1 game back. They have the tiebreaker. They have a head-to-head game. New Orleans' schedule isn't angel food cake, but if you compare them, I mean, there is no comparison. Phoenix's schedule is just, no, it's overrated cake. It's just one heavyweight after another. So I will go New Orleans clings to 6th, maybe chases 5th, and the Suns. The unthinkable for the Suns. They have to go through the play-in tournament.
Oh, my gosh. I think the Suns are going to get there. I think that getting that tiebreaker last night was big for them because maybe they do finish in that tie. And I tend to believe they play better against better teams. Like, even though that schedule is brutal, but they play up to their competition, and they have this whole entire year.
But how much of a catastrophe would it be?
Oh.
If the Phoenix Suns are not able to be that 6th seed and are a play-in tournament team, that is not what they were put together to do.
No, and this season has been a disappointment. And even with Book going off last night, you do have this lingering sense of they're still not adding up to something greater than the sum of their parts. And that's what they're going to have to do to beat elite teams over and over in the playoffs. But catastrophe, look, if they finish 7th, they'll have the edge to get out of the play-in tournament. And then after that, if you get in the playoffs, it all depends where Denver is seated, because I think they could beat any other team in a first-round series. I'm not sure I'll pick them, but Denver is a different animal. So if they avoid Denver, there's an avenue for them, unlikely as it may seem, to get somewhere.
You know, it's funny. I talked to the owner of the Suns, Matt Ishbia, about, they've gone way over the second apron. And their idea is the second apron is here. We're just going to keep zooming
it
right
past. It was a suggestion.
not a rule. And I think they're going to keep doing that. Like, they're not backing down from that strategy. Maybe they have to adjust, and the takeaway from this year is, okay, those guys have to be healthy. They haven't had nearly enough time together. But also, they need a real point guard. Like, they really have missed Chris Paul this season.
Yeah, I mean, I like where they're at. Even though their schedule is tough, I think they make the jump. New Orleans, Brandon Ingram,
yes.
I think hurts them a lot. And a lot of teams, it's a weird time of year, like you said before. There's people sitting out, people hurt, resting. I think they have a chance to jump those spots and not have to be in the play-in.
Well, and being a play-in team isn't necessarily a death knell, right? We saw both the Lakers and the Miami Heat last season make deep runs, even though they were both play-in teams. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see that again. There is some, I was going to say it's March. It's not. It's April now. Oh, my goodness. But there is still that sprinkling of Cinderella stories that came with both the Lakers and the Miami Heat. But, Danny, who in the West do you think can make a run this year.
I think most people will agree with me when I say the Los Angeles Lakers is the most dangerous team out of those four. They made a run last year. They have the same makeup, same kind of group, and LeBron James and Anthony Davis, when healthy, you can't bet against them. So I like their chances. If they get everybody back, they said Gabe Vincent might be available. I know the X factor with them defensively was Vanderbilt. So I don't know where he stands, but if they're healthy, I think this is the most dangerous team in the league, right, not just the West.
He came back and then was back on the injury report. He said he thinks that everybody would agree with him, Ramon.
I'm going to agree.
80%.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to you, and it's not just because we've known each other a long time. I agree with you that I think the Lakers are the most dangerous team in that play. The Warriors have been playing a lot better, but nobody wants to see LeBron James and Anthony Davis in a 7-game series.
Well, Danny, Zach, and I all got the, you know, raspberry beret.
I know. I almost.
Hey, are you feeling the Lakers juju too? We're going to send it an email next time.
Are you guys nuts? The Lakers are the most dangerous of these teams. The Suns. Did you see what Devin Booker did last night? If the Suns are sticking in seventh, if you're asking me which of these four teams, the Kings are decimated by injuries. The Warriors and the Lakers have been up and down. Lakers trending the right way. Their offense trending the right way. The answer is the Suns, man. With KD and Devin Booker, it's the Suns.
You said, are you nuts?
I mean, look, the Suns have been the Suns all year long, and I think they have the big three that can do something in the place if they get there. But the Lakers have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Different conference, for sure. Different top, different middle, different bottom. Everybody's better in the West this year.
This is a totally different conversation if Sacramento's healthy, though. Yeah. I like Sacramento with those other guys, but without Sacramento, I'm going with the Lakers.
The Malik Monk, Kevin Herter double blow is really tough for them.
Really, really difficult for the Sacramento Kings. We'll see how this all reconfigures by tomorrow, because it feels like everything is seeding all over the place in just a matter of hours. So we have a lot to get to. We're going to zip through this show coming up here on NBA Today. Joel Embiid's return, it looms large. So what does the reigning MVP need to achieve with the Sixers in the final 2 weeks of the season to find success in the playoffs? Plus, speaking of the playoffs, that's what we're going to be doing for the next couple of weeks. Steph and LeBron, they still sit at the bottom of the play-in tournament. So how crucial is this week for those two four-time champions? And Caitlin Clark and Paige Bekkerstein, did you see those games? I mean, my goodness.
Everybody watched these games last night.
A final four matchup for the ages.
Goodness.
Chills just to think about how they are getting it done and what to expect next round. You're watching NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
A trip to the Final Four on the line. South Carolina is headed to the Final Four. Still undefeated, still dancing.
The Wolfpack is coming.
I'm so proud of them. We wasn't even ranked before the season. Now we're going to the Final Four.
My goodness, Ward! This time it's Iowa!
This is what you work for all year.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. UConn back to the Final Four!
Cleveland, you better get ready.
The Elite Eight offered up some elite hoops last night in the women's tournament. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they took center stage in the first game of our doubleheader. LSU, of course, and Iowa. This is a rematch of last year's national championship game. Clark, Ramona, she just had a hot start early. Strikes first.
That's exactly what Iowa needed, what she had to do to get them going, because LSU is the defending national champions. You want to take down the champ, you got to get out in front and make them sweat.
Iowa up by 8 early here and just continues to push the pace.
I'm tired just watching it.
I know. It was a little bit LSU gets a steal here. Angel Reese gets out in transition, lays it up and in off the glass. But we were talking in the break about just the pace that they were keeping here.
I mean, they play in the 90s. You know that going in. Last year's game was in the 90s. You just got to slow them down somehow. This is a tournament game where you've had a year to scout this.
In the first half, Reese 13 points, 8 rebounds, Clark 19 points, 5 assists. What you didn't see here, though, is Angel Reese re-injuring an ankle injury that had been nagging for her for part of the season. Caitlin Clark, I mean, just...
She's just going to shoot from wherever.
Insane.
That's like Dame Lillard. Okay, I'll shoot from half court.
Absolutely pumped up and pumping up the crowd as well. Backs up. She says, you know what? I'll do it again, even over the good contest there from Angel Reese. Clark, 12 points in the third quarter. Reese, I mean, she can only throw her hands up at that point. And then later, Iowa up 8 here. Clark steps back, pulls up from 3, and drills another one. And at this point...
I mean, I know the Steph Curry comparison has been made too often, but...
Van Lith, I mean, that's a meme. Immediately.
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 And forever.
And once again, putting the finishing touches on here, Iowa advances to the Final Four by a score of 94-87. Sudeikis celebrating, Reese disappointed. Here's Caitlin Clark.
I feel like, you know... It's amazing to be back in the Final Four. It's so hard to get there, especially with this region and how loaded this region was. But, you know, we told ourselves we're the one seed for a reason. You know, we've earned this. We deserve to be in these moments. We're prepared for these moments.
Well, there's not a whole lot of strategy. You got to guard her. Nobody else seems to be able to guard her. We didn't even guard her last year when we beat them. She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
Kim, neither have we. Clark continued her storied collegiate career for at least one more game by creating 67 of Iowa's 94 points. That is the third most by any player over the last 25 tournaments. And a superstar like Clark needs a superstar crew to break it all down. It is a very good thing that we have just that.
Well, thank you, NBA Today. We want to talk about women's hoops from yesterday. How meta, make it a show. I'm Elle Duncan. She's Shanae Agubake. She is Andrea Carter. We have a whole recap here from the Iowa-LSU game. And, like, the first five things are just Caitlin Clark history. History. What do you make of what you saw?
Look, this was a Caitlin Clark masterclass, and I feel like she's Mozart, and her teammates were the perfect symphony. If you think about what she produced, 71% of Iowa's points. Now, a lot of people will see those 41 points, the 9 threes, but it was the 12 assists for me. Being able to read the defense, her IQ was on full display.
Yeah, and this is what those plays looked like. Just a few of them where you really see Caitlin Clark's basketball IQ. Watch her coming off of the screen. She moves so much. Now she backs out. It's a retreat dribble so she can get the space that she needs. She loves the left side of the floor. She hunts her shots. That's part of basketball IQ. And if you watch her here, reading the play, anticipating the pass, gets the steal on defense, then slows down. All eyes on Caitlin Clark, but her eyes are on her teammate. No one's paying attention to anyone else because that's how good Caitlin Clark is, but she's so smart, she's always surveying the floor. And she also knows when it's time to take over or when she has a mismatch. This was a mismatch. She had the vision over Haley Van Lith, and my favorite part about watching her operate, she cooked every single
time. Yeah, I was gonna say it was barbecue chicken.
Put on the gas. Okay, all eyes on her teammate, all eyes on Caitlin Clark. All our eyes are on Friday at 9 p.m. because we've got Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. We don't deserve this, but we're getting
Popcorn.
It anyway.
Popcorn.
Let's get it back.
Popcorn.
Well, and certainly all eyes in Cleveland right now are on this. Moments ago, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes getting off the plane at the site of the Final Four. Certainly cannot wait for these remaining matchups here. And, I mean, if Paige Beckers could go head-to-head against Caitlin Clark, the same way Juju Watkins last
Come
night,
today,
you're going to need to share that popcorn. We have a big game on our hands. So this is how this one went down. Paige Beckers, number 3-seeded UConn, facing off against Watkins and number 1 USC. Paige Beckers has been sensational all tournament long after coming back from injury here. UConn on a roll, and Paige Beckers really leading the way. But Juju Watkins, just a freshman sensation, Ramon.
I mean, I was just like 4 or 5 years old when Cheryl Miller was doing her thing at USC. Mm. But I wrote about it. I've seen all the highlights. And every time I watch Juju, I'm like, man, that is Cheryl Miller reincarnate right there.
Just over eight Woo! Minutes left. USC trails. Watkins in transition just easily makes the layup. USC down by three. Watkins 29 points, 10 rebounds. Less than a minute later, Mackenzie Forbes gets the ball, knocks down a huge three. USC goes on an 8-1 run to tie the game at 59. And in the final 4 minutes here, Paige
that
Becker.
That shot. Come on now.
Huge bucket there.
That they USC was answering. They were getting back in this game. I thought Connecticut had a hold of it, and then Paige just said no.
A 10-0 run for UConn late in the game. Becker's 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Fired up. UConn wins to advance their 23rd final.
Okay, Gino.
The UConn win, it sets up one of the most intriguing matchups in the tournament. Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clarks. The pair met once before. This was in 2021 in the Sweet 16. That's when UConn eliminated Iowa. So both have won Player of the Year in their careers, and they look to advance to the national championship game, a place where they have each yet to win. So while Iowa advances, the defending champions, LSU, they were eliminated. And that could mark the end of a decorated collegiate career for Angel Reese. She's a member of the First Team All-American, the 2023 NCAA Tournament's Most Outstanding Player, and this year's SEC Player of the Year. And she's one of the women who really helped propel women's basketball to new heights. But her career, it was also dotted with ridicule, scrutiny, and at times racist and sexist taunts. And she and her teammates, they don't touch on that often, but they did after last night's loss.
Everybody can have their opinion on Angel Reese, but y'all don't know her.
Put your hand up.
Like, y'all don't know Angel Reese. I know Angel Reese. Dude. I know the real Angel Reese. And the person I see every day is a strong person, is a caring, loving person, bro. The crown she wears is heavy, bro.
I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened, I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. All this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day, I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm gonna always leave that mark and be who I am.
So Angel also said that she hoped to inspire little girls with her message to keep being authentically you. But Angel, I hope you know that you weren't just talking to little girls, at least not exclusively. You were also talking to so many grown women as well. Thank you. Coming up on NBA Today, it's always sunny in Philadelphia, right, Danny? That's the way it works. So what version of Joel Embiid should we expect when he returns to the lineup? And there's no team that is hotter than Luka and Kyrie's Dallas Mavericks. So just how far can they take this team? I hear Zach, he has a hot take on that one. Plus, the McDonald's All-American game. It is tonight on ESPN, so it's only right to do a special edition.
Okay,
top
Candace
of the
Parker.
Top. Best moments from the exclusive event. NBA Today will be back after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The reigning NBA MVP.
Joel Embiid's return to the Sixers lineup is imminent.
You know, one thing that I always say, if you got the chance to go for it, you gotta go for it.
They can't do it like we do to send me demonstrations for the pace.
The Embiid is loose.
coming with a new flow.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
It feels like we need to remind everybody, Joel Embiid was inevitable for the first 3 months of the season. And after over 2 months away from the NBA floor, his return is imminent. That's according to our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. And whether that return is tonight against Oklahoma City or in the coming days against maybe the Miami Heat, it's kind of easy, right, to forget just how dominant the reigning MVP was before his knee injury. It's been a while since Joel Embiid has been in the lineup, but he was playing at another MVP caliber once again. He was putting up 35 points, 11 boards, nearly six dimes a game. No one has put that lineup in a season since Wilt in 1964. And the efficiency, it was off the charts too. Embiid has more points scored than minutes played. I mean, what? And the Sixers, they were in fifth place, right, when Embiid went down. They have tumbled down in the standings, right, to eighth in the 29 games since, winning just 11 of those contests. But back up. I need just a little bit of room here because we're going this way. We're headed this way because it's still time, right, for Philadelphia to find their footing once their 7'3" superstar sets up and suits up once again. The seven games remaining on their schedule tonight against the West's best Thunder squad. So now we say hello to our reporter, Tim Bontemps, because Tim, we heard our Adrian Wojnarowski say that Joel Embiid's return is imminent, but looking at the injury report, he is listed as out tonight. So will he be out?
Well, we'll wait to see exactly what happens over the next few hours, Malika, though, as you said, he is listed as out for tonight's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the important thing for the Sixers is what you pointed out, that Joel Embiid is on his way back to getting on the court, and they hope will be back on the court permanently and playing somewhere near the level he was before he got hurt. When, as you laid out in all those statistics, he was as good as anybody playing in the league right now and as anybody playing in the league in the last several decades. That's how dominant Joel was throughout this season. Now, he went through practice in Toronto on Saturday, had no setbacks or issues coming out of that five-on-five practice. The Sixers want to make sure he gets out on the court and is fully healthy, because as you laid out there in that intro, Malika, Sixers have tonight's game against the Thunder.
Yep.
They have Thursday's game against the Heat. If they don't win both of those games, it's very likely this team is going to be in the 8th seed going into the 7-8 game 2 weeks from today. And so the focus for them, more than getting Joel back out there as fast as possible, is to make sure when he's out there, he's fully ready to go and as close to that superstar level as he can be for that 7-8 game. Because as we know, avoiding the Boston Celtics in the first round is what every Eastern Conference team is going to be trying to do.
Yes, those are the stakes. Tim Bontemps, thank you so very much. Enjoy tonight's game. I want to bring it back with our panel here because Ramona Shelburne has been covering Joel Embiid for years. Ramona, what does it say to you if he's unable to go tonight?
I think his priority the entire time has been to get this right. He's not going to come back until he feels close to 100%. Like, whether he's all the way back or he just feels strong enough, like, his priority is winning a championship, being as best as he can for the playoffs. And so if it's tonight, if it's Thursday, if it's next week, whatever it is, he's got to get this right. Mm-hmm. Because it's too important for him the rest of the season, but also the rest of his career. And I think he's said over and over, once he went down with this injury, like, the point of this is to get it right. It's not to rush back and play on one leg like he was for a couple weeks before he went down with the last injury. I mean, I think people forget about what happened right before Jonathan Kuminga fell on his knee.
Yeah.
He was playing on one leg. So all those stats you were citing there,
right?
Those were one-legged stats. I mean, those were like, that's how good he is
category.
On one leg. Let's see him on two legs. Let's see him do it right.
A separate category for the one-legged
flamingo stats.
Yeah, the flamingo stats. That's what we're going to be calling them. Danny, I'm curious, though. How long does it take to – it's different than being in basketball shape, right?
Sure.
Like, how many games does it take to get back to
And it's different for different
himself?
People. Certain guys can get back within two or three games.
Yeah.
Certain guys can come back within, you know, five or six games.
Yep.
I think for Joel, you know, his size and with him being out for that long, I don't think it'll take him long, but at least seven games for him to feel in rhythm. And if he doesn't play tonight, I just think he's not comfortable or he doesn't feel he's in conditioning to enough and doesn't want to put himself out there on the floor not looking at his best basketball. So I think it's going to take him these last seven games for him, all of them, for him to feel like he's in good rhythm and in shape for the playoffs.
And they're all important, as Tim mentioned, in their chase to get out of eighth, which is unlikely but not unfeasible given this schedule, which after this Thunder and Heat doubleheader coming up for them is pretty friendly. But time just runs thin, especially if he doesn't play one of these two games. They've been bad without Joel Embiid. There's no sugarcoating it. They've just been bad. that's probably a loss. The Thunder are that good. The Heat are hungry too. They need to win that Miami game. Because look, if you're in that 7-8 game, you win, you get Milwaukee. That's good. That's better than Boston, I guess. It's still a tall order. You lose, you're fighting for your life just to get Boston. But I love that he's feeling well enough to come back. And I love that he is pushing to come back this season, because Joel Embiid's 30. He doesn't have forever to play in the NBA. Yep. And there's a certain, like, why not? 7th, 8th? I was the best player in the NBA before I got hurt. Yeah. Why can't we beat these teams? You know, it's a kind of a running gag in the NBA that Boston beats Philadelphia every year in the playoffs. Yeah. Last year, it was close.
Yeah.
Like, people forget because of how embarrassing Game 7 was for Philly. That they had a chance to win that series in Philadelphia at home. I love that he's going for it. Why not? Why not push for it?
But is there a moment to you, because as Ramona said, the one leg piece of it all, is there a moment that'll signal, oh, yeah, that move, that bit there, that signals that Joel Embiid is back?
So, for me, it's defense. And when he's fully amped up and engaged, he has a closing speed to the rim on defense that is borderline alarming for a guy his size. He's so fast and so explosive. When he decides I'm going to get this block, he can get from the elbow to the rim in a blink. And guys that size are not supposed to be able to do that. When he's got that burst, that is when I will know Joel Embiid is back.
I like that highlight that you showed earlier of him with a dribble and then a stop through the legs. Like, if your knee is not right, you're not making that move, right?
Right.
I mean, you know he can be big and he's got great post moves. But if you see him dribbling where he can stop on a dime and pull up like that, that's when you know the knee's right.
That's when you know that he is back. But the odds for Philadelphia to make any sort of meaningful push in the playoffs, the odds are not in their favor. You can take a look here. This is the odds for each seed. They have a 94% chance of being in the play-in, a 40% chance of being the 8th seed, slightly higher chance there of the 7th seed, and then just a 5% chance of being out of the play-in tournament completely and being that 6th seed, which is, of course, what they would love to see happen, but that might be a little bit of a tall task. So while we wait for the green light for Joel Embiid, Danny Green is here in studios. So what better time to play a little game? Yep. A little red light, green light.
All right. Three.
I'm sure you all played a version of this as a kid, right?
Yeah. Yep. I still do.
Ramona's already, like, ready
I do this all the time.
Race.
Ramona's, like, has her hands on her knees. She's ready to get going.
We're going to do this, though, with a little twist. I'm going to say a team and a round of the playoffs. So you're going to give them a green light if you think they can make it, or you're going to hit the brakes if you do not think that they will. We're going to get there. Ramona's out and ready to rock.
I can't see the signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to start with...
Okay. First round, second round, conference finals.
Yeah, first round, second round, conference finals, NBA finals. So we're going to start with the 76ers. Are you giving them a green light to survive the play-in bracket and make it to the first round? Red light, green light, take a step forward if that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you giving them a green light to surpass? You all are. So can then they make it to the conference finals? How many of you are giving it?
We're going second round?
Conference semis here. So can they get to the conference semis?
That depends on the matchup.
And it still depends. It's red light
no
and green
moving?
Light. That's it, Danny.
No, it's a red light. There's no yellow light.
I actually think we're all staying right
was
here.
The yellow light. All right, first round exit. That's what everyone thinks.
Can you win this game? Can I win? I want to win.
Their opponent tonight, the Thunder. Do you think that they are going to the conference semis?
Ooh.
Danny.
Okay.
I'll put you on that one.
Anyone taking them in the to make it to the conference finals?
Let's go.
Thunder.
Let's go.
Let's go. Why not?
By the way, it all depends where Denver is seated.
Exactly.
It all depends on the seating.
All right, so we're just going to put a little, this is like the Denver cloud that's hanging over, or sunshine, depending.
A big Jokic,
All right, you got one more stop. Are they going to go to the NBA finals? The Oklahoma City Thunder. Anyone moving forward there?
My car stopped working.
All right, the car has broken down. All right, back to the beginning.
Right,
I got another team for you guys.
Okay.
You got to go back?
Got to go back. No one took them to go all the way to the NBA finals.
Sorry, not
all right, first round exit for the Philadelphia 76ers. The conference finals, two for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Los Angeles Lakers, Zach Lowe. Are they going to
Are you asking just me?
Are they going to get out of the play-in?
Yes, they're
going to
get in the play-in.
Are they going to get to the semifinals?
Ooh.
Okay, why not?
See you guys later.
Oh, Zach says that he's backing it up. All right. Anyone taking them in the conference finals?
No, I can't go that far.
Oh, can't go that far?
No.
All right. No one's taking them to go that far. Going once. Going twice.
If you wanted, you should have had Perk on the show if you wanted that.
Perk will be back in studio tomorrow, and maybe we will all, you know, get some
Perk
some
will be
steps
like running over there.
Doing that there.
Yeah.
Is he? All right. Coming up next on NBA Today, thank you guys for placating my inner child. The McDonald's All-American game is tonight. We've got the top two high school players in the country joining us, Cooper Flagg and Sarah Strong. That's next on NBA Today.
I think I won.
I think you did too. I think I lost.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
How you guys doing? They wanted to join us tonight. Y'all cool with that?
My brothers are my best friends. Growing up, you're constantly challenging each other. And it made us all stronger.
I knew that my brother was sick when we were younger, but I didn't know how serious it was.
Kamani still being here because of us, it's something that ties us together. They saved my life.
E60 presents Blood Brothers, Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. Streaming same day on ESPN+.
We welcome you to the McDonald's All-American Game.
It is the ultimate honor in high school basketball.
So much talent up and down both these rosters.
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. The number one player in the country. Right down the chute.
You're looking at four or five that could finish as the number one prospect in this class.
We're just trying to play a team game, and you know, thankfully we're up by 12 right now.
Chris Paul to LeBron James.
The 2024 McDonald's All-American Games, they are tonight, and it is a glimpse of basketball's future. Just look at some of the names who have played in the game over the years. You have GOATs. You have Hall of Famers, you have MVPs, basketball legends that have all graced the court in this game. So that brings us to this year's top recruiting class and the top players. For the boys, it's Cooper Flagg, who is committed to Duke. And for the girls, it is Sarah Strong, who is still undecided, but is UConn, UNC, and Duke in her top three. So we could see some history if she picks Duke, since ESPN started tracking high school recruits. The top player for both the boys and the girls, they have never gone to the same school. So could we see that this year? Well, maybe. We have the pleasure of welcoming in both Cooper Flagg and Sarah Strong to our show. Congratulations to both of you, and thank you both so much for joining us. I know you have a busy schedule today.
Thank you
for having us.
Of course. So Sarah, we just saw the list of some of the schools that you're considering. Duke is on there. Cooper, do you have any pitch for Sarah on maybe why she should be joining you at Duke?
Yeah, I mean, my pitch would be just about, like, the energy and the feel of, like, the campus and the gym and stuff like that. I think, like, it's hard to find a place that can match that type of energy and enthusiasm around, like, basketball. So.
I don't know. That sounds like a pretty good pitch to me, Sarah. Did he convince you?
It was really good.
It was pretty good. When though, do you think you may be deciding on which school you're going to go to?
In the next week or so.
In the next week or so. So we will be keeping our eye out for that. You guys are both on the path to being top draft picks eventually when you start your pro career. So Cooper first and then you, Sarah. Who is your favorite pro player to watch right now?
I say, like, my two favorites are probably Paolo and Jason Tatum. Just because they're both, like, bigger wings. Who, like, use their body really well and use, like, a lot of change of pace.
And what about you, Sarah?
Probably Breonna Stewart. She does, like, a little bit of everything, and that's what I'm trying to do.
So I want to end here because, Cooper, you represent your home state of Maine, but you're going to be playing college ball in Sarah's home state of North Carolina. So I want to do a little this or that with you two. Which one are you taking, lobster rolls or North Carolina barbecue?
I would take North Carolina barbecue, personally, just because I actually don't like lobster.
Wow. Is that...
Yeah, I'm taking the barbecue.
Is that allowed in Maine? You're not allowed to... Are you allowed to not like lobster? Is that something that's okay?
I'm not sure.
I mean...
Not sure about
it's all right.
That,
I'll eat the lobster rolls on your behalf then. Who has the better beaches, Maine or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
I think Maine.
Okay.
Maine.
All right.
Better beaches, yeah.
Repping for the home states. Okay, which one of you is putting up the most points tonight?
Definitely me. Definitely me.
We'll see.
Ooh. All right. We'll see. Cooper.
No, I'm playing.
Cooper, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm still shocked about the lobster roll thing. You think they're overrated too, Zach?
I think lobster's overrated.
That is a
hot
bad take.
Lobster's
oh
overrated.
My God. All right. Well, this is what we can all agree on, though. The future of the game is really showcased in the McDonald's All-American game. Here are some of the notable players to win MVP in the NBA and WNBA. It isn't just individual success either. Every player listed here has also gone on to become a champion during their pro career. So, pretty legendary track record there.
Okay.
Speaking of legends, we thought we'd do a little top of the top. Okay. High school McDonald's All-American. We're going to start with top legends. You know we need to start with Shaquille O'Neal. This is in 1989.
Ooh.
Oh. He's running back down the court doing one of these.
I'm surprised he didn't break that backboard.
I'm a little
surprised.
You
had to have
too.
Strong baskets for young Shaq.
And if we're showing Shaq, we have to show the late, great Kobe Bryant.
Ooh. Sure.
LeBron, a little reverse in 2003. And then some top creativity. That's our next
category.
Still
does that dunk. I saw that like last week.
I know, and you're 21.
20 years later.
Insane. This is 20 years ago. This was 2001. TJ Ford, a little and one mixtape. Oh!
Wow.
I love that three of you guys are just standing up here speechless.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Smith throwing down the windmill here. This is 2004-ish. And then, of course, a little Kyrie.
Behind
the back.
Stop.
What?
Razzle dazzle.
And then the dunk contest gets its own category.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
We're starting with the legend, Candace Parker. I mean,
prominently featured in her documentary when she won.
D Brown.
Yep.
Would you say better than Jalen Brown or?
I'm just saying her eyes were fully.
I don't talk about. Let's talk about Jalen Brown's performance in the dunk contest.
I want to see Zion in the dunk contest. Give us a little of this tomahawk action. This was in 2018. And then, of course, Vince Carter. He gets way up. This was just a preview for what we've seen in the NBA.
Greatest dunker of all time.
I think he's the greatest dunker of all time.
I think that's right.
You may be
maybe
correct.
Maybe Dr. J, but.
Well, some of the association's top teams, they square off in our NBA Wednesday doubleheader. Jason Tatum, who we just heard Cooper Flagg say one of his favorite players, and the Celtics. They have already clinched the top seed in the East, but they're going to host SGA and the Western Conference leading Thunder. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers take on the Phoenix Suns, who are looking to get out of the play-in tournament. Our coverage, of course, dips with NBA Countdown. That's at 7 o'clock. Coming up, the Mavs, they're the hottest team in the league. But who is ready to say that Luka and Kyrie can win the West? Stick around and find out.
NBA Today is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
It's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. We have 9 games on the schedule tonight, so let's roll through the biggest matchups. We're going to start in Toronto, where LeBron Anthony Davis, they take on the Raptors. Toronto has lost their last 13 games, all right? So the Lakers, they are 9 games over 500 for the first time in 3 years. Danny, these are 2 teams you won championships with both, so dust your shoulders off. Who you got tonight?
I've been lucky. I got the Lakers. I think this is an easy one for them. Obviously, there's no easy night in the NBA, but this is going to be 14 games lost for the Toronto Raptors in a row.
Oh.
They're not really playing for much. And Lakers, every game matters. I see them coming out with a little energy and fire tonight.
Well, let's go from the 6 to the 305. The Knicks, they're in Miami in a huge game that will have playoff and play-in implications. Yeah. The Knicks are they're only a half game out from the Cavs for the 3rd seed. Miami is a game out of 6. So, Professor Lowe, who you got?
Something about these Heat. Every time you're worried about the Heat, bam, they come and sneak up on you. I'm smelling a Heat win tonight. Don't let me down, Heat.
Can I do the
There it is.
Appropriate.
All right, from the East to the West, the Clippers, they're in sack tonight to play the Kings. L.A. sits 2 games above the Pelicans for that all-important 4th seed where you get to keep home court advantage. So no Kawhi tonight with right knee soreness. That's a little bit concerning. Ramona, who you got?
I am going to go with the Kings.
It doesn't sound like you're confident about it.
I know, I don't sound all that confident. But look, they're home. I think sometimes when people have injury news that is not so good as the Kings have had the last week or so, they actually rally behind who they do have. And Sabonis and Fox are still on the court. They're playing at home. They know they need to win.
I like that. All right. The real answer is, who you got. Who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets when they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. I never get tired of that.
I know.
Kendrick. So arguably the biggest game, though, tonight is the Mavericks against the Warriors. It's in the Bay. The Mavs, they're the hottest team right now in the NBA, winning 11-12. They have vaulted themselves out of the play-in. They are in sole possession of fifth right now. The Warriors, they return home after going 4-1 on their five-game road trip. They sit two games above the Rockets, who are chasing them for that last play-in spot. So speaking of the Mavericks and the Warriors, right, Luka and Kyrie, they have made a serious impression this season scoring-wise. The duo has combined for more points per game than any season of the Splash Brothers, which is pretty shocking. But what really matters, right, when you're talking about the Mavericks, it's the postseason, right? They've proven that they are one of the best teams since the trade deadline. But how far, Zach Lowe, do you think that Luka and Kyrie can carry this Dallas Mavericks team?
It all depends on the Denver avoidance scale and how long you can avoid Denver, who is the favorite in the West.
A meter for that.
Yeah, the Denver avoidance. The Jokic avoidance scale. But I think they could make the conference finals if they avoid Denver until then. I think they're that good. And to me, their defense is really picked up, and that's the biggest change of the team. Kyrie and Luka are unbelievable. Their chemistry is unbelievable. But the center play they're getting from Gafford and Lively over 48 minutes, there's the rim defense, number one after the trade deadline. I mean, like, they're like one combined super center. It's like 25 points, 12 rebounds, great rim defense, totally changes their team. Catching lobs from Luka. It's a great time being a Dallas Mavericks center.
I mean, and they've also gotten good perimeter defense back. Like, and I think this is the formula they had when they went to the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago against these Warriors. But they didn't have Kyrie Irving back then. And they had Jalen Brunson, of course. But they had this team, I think, is all of a sudden sneaky dangerous in the Western Conference depending on their matchups because of how deep they are and because they're playing
What is sneaky dangerous?
I think they match up with anybody. I mean, I wouldn't pick them in a series against Denver, They could give them a – I think they can give them a series.
So other than Denver – if they are somehow able to avoid Denver, you think they could go to the Western Conference?
Yes. I mean, with the way they're playing right now, I mean, Luka just can close his eyes. I mean, he hit the shot off the backboard the other night. Like,
I'm with you two on that. I think they have the potential to be wherever they want to be with Kyrie and Luka. But the pieces they've added after the deadline have definitely made a big jump for them. Rim protection and PJ Washington stretching the floor a little bit. Just giving Luka and Kyrie more weapons around them to make them harder to guard.
I think the Jokic factor, the Denver factor, is the same for many teams. Yep. You feel pretty good about even some of the younger teams, Oklahoma City, the Minnesota Timberwolves, unless they have to face Denver in, you know, the second round.
And this is a strange season. I don't remember the last time we had a three-team race for the number one seed that was this close. You're not going to be able to game the seeds like you had in the past.
It's something that I cannot wait to see, but I have some video that we all need to see before head out for the day. No, this is not an uh-oh. This is Iowa moments ago taking photos. They have landed in Cleveland. But really, they are already having a time. We're just shaking hands, kissing babies. Whose baby is that? Adorable.
UConn's coming.
That's going to do it for us. Enjoy tonight's games. We'll see you tomorrow.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.